Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Our text for our meditation is the Blessed Gospel for Ascension in Luke 24, beginning at verse 44. Then he said to them, "These are my words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures and said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that the repentance and forgiveness of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." Then he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. While he blessed them, he parted from them. And they returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple blessing God. Rhetoric has fallen on hard times, obviously because of sin. Rhetoric, a long time ago, was simply the art and use of excellence in language. Under the sophists, it became the art of persuasion to the ultimate degree. Today, it is cast about as a curse word for all politicians who make promises they can't keep. He has a lot of that. I would like to remind you on this blessed day of the Ascension that we are in the craft of rhetoric. Now, of course, the world will take it one way, and we take it the other. But as we look at this text in Luke, we are struck by the use of rhetoric, the art, if you will, of persuasion. You men are training for the craft of words. There is nothing of which you need be ashamed, of the craft of words or the art of persuasion. It is not the art that is under condemnation. It is the motivation and the methods used. What do you think our Lord was doing in the text? You men who deal with the craft of words. For him, he had no problem with rhetoric. He called himself the Word. We find three segments to our text. God speaks, God acts, and you speak. That's simple. You heard it from the beginning. "These are my words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." That's the craft of words. Words are the instruments by which God's Son addresses his creation. It is not simply the intention that God has, but the very means by which he addresses us as he ascends to glory, that he would remind us that he communicates with his sinful, fallen race. And we need those words, for under sin, we cannot hear God's word. We are indeed a people who have lost the understanding of the words which our Lord Jesus Christ would speak here. We notice he places a great emphasis on the words. He names them Moses, prophets, Psalms, the law, the prophets, the writings. Not simply the intention of God, Not simply the great themes that run through the Bible, not even justification by faith, but also the very text itself is part of the word craft of God Himself. He is not ashamed of language or words. Just because sin has perverted and bent words from their meaning and intent does not mean that God's Son should apologize for His attempts to persuade with all of the majesty of His person and His acts and His speech. He opened their minds. Open their minds to what? He opened their minds to the words and their meanings. Not simply on a superficial basis, but He opened their minds that they might see and hear these words through the eyes and the ears of faith in Him who is a Redeemer, who died and rose again. That these forgiven sinners might find new meaning in these words for their lives and for the whole world. What words? Why? All Moses, prophets, and the Psalms. The words for all the words. They are different words in a sense, aren't they? For the pagan, they are just myths. Religious will, religious dreams, religious philosophy. But for us whose eyes have seen the risen and ascended King, they are words of life and words that speak from God's own heart to man. God speaks. Seems to me I said something about God acts. He said it was written that the Son of Man must suffer and be killed and rise again. If we talked about rhetoric at first and the craft of words, now we're talking about the substance behind the words. There has to be substance behind the words. They're not just empty shells. A decoration on a Christmas tree. When God speaks a word such as forgiveness, mentioned in the text, there is substance behind the word. It isn't just, oh, I wish you were forgiven. I wish I were forgiven. But there is power and drive and authority, and there is an effective outcome when God uses His words or we use His word. God acts. He puts substance behind. He so loved this world that He gave up His only Son. What more can God give the world than of Himself? What more can God give for our guilt and our sins than the blood of the divine Son? Don't tell me that the rhetoric God uses is empty, folderol, and empty promises. It is filled with the glorious substance of God's grace and love as He sends His own Son to the cross to bear our guilt and our sin. Didn't I read in there something about so that the great so-that's of Scripture, so that you might, what? Proclaim repentance and forgiveness. They're the words I read. So that you might proclaim repentance and forgiveness. Substance? What more substance can the world want or need than to hear those words, the call to repent, to confront God's law in oneself, and to hear the glorious news from the risen Christ, the ascended Christ? Forgiveness. whole purpose of God's words and God's acts. Culminate in this glorious, magnificent event that is the fulcrum of all history, the crucified and risen Christ. Oh, that brings us to the third part of the text, the last part where the ascension takes place. So that you speak and you act. The ascension is not bye-bye, see you again. The ascension is the intercession of the Blessed Son with the Father daily for you in your ministry. You do not go out there to proclaim repentance and forgiveness, wondering where he is and what's happening next. You go with the ascended, ruling Christ, who intercedes daily for the Father. He prays for us. He sits at the right hand. He sits in the glory of God. He is the glory of God. The full weight. So that you might be witnesses. I read that. You are witnesses of these things. You have substance and you have words, and you're to take the substance that is behind the words and to proclaim them. Not in fear and anxiety, but with the promise I read to you of my Father upon you, stay in this city until you are clothed with power from on high. And his blessed church is clothed with that power of the Spirit. That we go forth to be witnesses to him, so that we might proclaim repentance and forgiveness to a dying world, to a dead world. While he blessed them, he parted from them, and they returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and we're continually in the temple blessing God. They have to return to the craft of the words. Sorry, that's all you've got. And I guess we must include the visible means as well. But it is the word that you have. But you see, the word is enough. If he would deign to take the title of the Word, he, the Word, the eternal Word, I believe we can manage to struggle through our ministry with words. Not our words. His words. The only words that work. Don't be ashamed to be one practicing rhetoric, the craft of words. That's why you're here, to learn how to use words to the best of your ability, so that you might present the Christ without shame or dishonor in the best way that you can. So, on Ascension Day, remember who he is and where he is. With us. With the Father. With all power. With all promise. So that the words which flow from your lips speak of life, power, and the glory of the ascended Christ, whose most blessed life and words we hold so dear. Amen. And the peace of God that passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus to life eternal.